Property owners Aaron and Katrina Miller had a conditional use permit granted by the borough this year that allowed storage of fishing gear outdoors at their property at 107 Arnis Heights Drive. That's about 2 miles south of downtown Petersburg. The Planning Commission this summer revoked that permit after the Millers did not build the fence required by the permit to block the sight of gear from neighboring properties. Aaron Miller told the Borough Assembly he couldn't afford to build this year because of a poor fishing season.
We couldn't afford spending $20,000 on a fence. We priced it out, $25,000 probably.
The land is zoned single-family residential, and the permit allowed a use other than a home on the property. And without that permit, the Millers were ordered by the borough to remove the fishing gear stored on the land, and the couple appealed that order. Miller told the assembly the couple did what they could afford this year to prepare the site for construction.
Yeah, we're just small business owners, and I really don't want to fight the city. Look what I'm stacked up against. I can't compete. We can't compete. So I guess what we're asking for is a little common sense from the Board of Review here.
Miller asked for a stay, meaning no enforcement of the order to remove the fishing gear until he could try to again rezone the property. The Borough Assembly voted down such a move last year. Miller also has argued that gear storage is allowed on other residential land in the borough and thought he was being targeted unfairly. He also took issue with what he called vague language in the borough's code.
Nowhere in the codes could we find the pertinent law stating that storage and accessory uses are not allowed without a principal use, i.e. dwelling completed first. The codes are vague about this and prone to misinterpretations and subjective.
Miller had applied for a building permit this summer and argued that that signaled his intent to build on the property when he was able to afford it. He also produced letters of support from nearby property owners and witnesses who testified in support of allowing him to continue the gear storage. One nearby property owner, John Mergus, said he couldn't find the nuisance violation.
I did pace off the area that was used by the commercial fishing gear. I apologize, I didn't ask for property owner's permission. And it is less than 10% of the square footage of the lot. Relatively small amount. 90% is not being used for storage of commercial fishing gear.
Petersburg's assembly adopted a new nuisance ordinance earlier this year, and this hearing was the first under that new local law. The assembly heard from Liz Cabrera, the borough's community development director, who said the process is a new one, and she did not think the borough was doing selective enforcement.
We decided to prioritize our efforts on longstanding violations and then also address new complaints as they came in. We have addressed 8 violations since May. 4 have been resolved, 3 are being followed up on, and 1 is the one that is currently under appeal. I think the summary of cases demonstrates quite clearly that we're not selecting certain types of cases over others.
Cabrera cited other specific examples of gear and salvage material storage on residential land that have been resolved or still are being pursued by the borough. Cabrera argued that the Millers did violate the borough's nuisance ordinance. She noted that the borough's zoning code allows other residential landowners who have built a home to store fishing gear at their home. That's an allowable secondary use of that property.
So the accessory use must be incidental. It's not the primary thing. It must be subordinate. It's not the primary thing. You have to have the primary use established, and then you gain, as the property owner, all the benefits that come with the accessory use. It doesn't say in here anywhere that accessory use includes storage of commercial fishing gear, but that is how we interpret it, and I think it's a liberal interpretation that works for our community.
The property is in the Olson subdivision. It's a mix of residentially and commercially zoned land with no water and sewer service. It's also right next to Hungerford Hill, a neighborhood with some industrial land and homes thrown into the mix. Assemblymember Kurt Wallhuter wondered where common sense entered into the decision.
It was bought as a single-family dwelling. It was bought not as a commercially zoned piece of property. It was the CUPs were not met. I mean, I have a lot of reasons why I should probably vote for this affirmant. But on the other hand, I'm going to vote no against this because I don't like the idea that it's not so specific that there would be holes in it.
Several assembly members were having trouble deciding the question. Bob Lynn saw 2 issues. One was the Millers' attempts to rezone that parcel. Another was the violation of the nuisance ordinance.
I agree with common sense, you know. And if they can't do it, and we extend, it was sent back to planning and zoning. Do you give them another, do you give them another, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years? How long does it take? What's the process?
Lynn wondered what was a reasonable time frame to allow. Mayor Mark Jensen said it wasn't a fun position to be in making that decision.
And, you know, I do understand financial hardships, but I also understand rules that are made and agreements that are made. And at some point, you have to enforce what's on the books, how it got there or not. And if you don't like it, you go back to the assembly and planning and zoning and you change it.
The vote was 5-1 to affirm the order of nuisance abatement, with only Walhuter voting against it. The borough can impose fines if the gear is not removed. The Millers can still appeal that decision in district court. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicky.